So let's talk about all of those things tonight. And many of you are already commenting about inflation. So this is my question. My good friend Dave, he called me up yesterday and he said, "What is going on with inflation? How do we stop it? Who is to blame?" And so far, I haven't seen I've seen reasons why there is inflation, but I haven't seen a reason why we're experiencing record inflation. So let's see. Orion says, "I don't know, something about trillions of extra dollars flooding the economy might have something to do with inflation." David says, "I imagine there's more than I have considered, but I worried about inflation since the stimulus package is passed. We can't just print money." This is another David. David says a lack of cooperation is to blame. And Darren says inflation has increased because of the stimulus packages. So let me first address the stimulus packages. When you borrow money and you put that money into play, you decrease the value of money, right? And that's the simple math, the simple equation about the stimulus packages. But that process doesn't typically happen so quickly. And I mean, it can take several years. And we've had stimulus packages before. We had stimulus packages in 08. We've had government going into debt and borrowing for a long time. We're in a 13-year high for inflation. So while I agree with you that those things have an impact on inflation, I do not believe that they are the cause of the current inflation that we've seen over the last 2 years. And I think Michael is on track with my thinking here. Michael says it's all about COVID. I think that we should have seen this coming a million miles away. And for those people who want to blame Biden, that somehow in 7 months of office, you can cause record inflation. Oh my, that would be something. actions taken by presidents many times take years to have an impact. In fact, somebody, I think I saw it on TikTok, somebody posted a, it was a graph and it was about, what was it about? It was about the economy and how it was growing and how it grew during Democrat years and it didn't grow during Republican years. And just jokingly, I said, "Well, that's because Republican policies take a while to put in place. And so Republicans put in good policies and Democrats realize the benefits of those policies. And then Democrats put in their policies and they cancel out." They didn't like what I said, and it was tongue in cheek. But my whole point was that these things take time. It's very difficult. I mean, the economy is massive. And by the way, maybe this will help inform the decision a little bit more. We're not the only ones with record inflation. It's happening globally, okay? Global record inflation. So now let's go back and talk about whether it's stimulus. Have other countries put in stimulus? Yeah, some. But what is it that is creating this record stimulus? I think that Michael is right on. It's all about COVID. Brandon says inflation is just folks taking advantage of the current crisis. Happened in Texas, happened with wood. Well, so it, yeah, I don't know if I like your characterization. I mean, supply and demand has always been part of the equation, right? So right now, employees are taking advantage of the crisis because they're demanding higher wages. And because there's a hiring crisis, employers are offering higher wages. I was in a restaurant today, now hiring, $13.50 an hour, well above minimum wage. Why is that happening? Because supply and demand. So calling it taking advantage, yes, there are those who do that. But when your expenses go up, because Brandon, it's not just us as individuals that are experiencing the inflation. It's the businesses that are shipping in the product. Their prices are going up. And so it all goes forward. It all moves downhill. So those prices are passed on. And that's what we're seeing here. Let's see. Chris joins us. He says, if income tax revenue in Utah directly reflects income in Utah, income is way up, which can lead to inflation. Personal income tax revenue in Utah was up 53% in 2020 compared to 2021. David says, if I remember my macroeconomics class well, inflation is caused by more dollars chasing fewer dollars. We have fewer dollars being produced due to the pandemic, and we have more dollars from stimulus packages. So again, that's kind of in general terms. The math is very different during a pandemic. And this is what I think a lot of people are missing. What happens during a pandemic? What happens when factory workers who produce products can't go to work? What happens when farm workers can't go to work? What happens when dock workers can't go to work? What happens when suppliers cut production because they feel that the pandemic is going to reduce demand? But demand persists or it returns aggressively and they have to ramp up again. You can't just fire things up and be back to normal again. So we have to, instead of thinking in terms of what normally causes inflation, let's focus on why we have record inflation and what has happened because it's come upon us in the last 18 months. What has happened to create that record inflation? When you consider, for example, that there are cargo ships sitting out in the ocean right now, filled with goods, and they just want to unload those goods, but we don't have the dock workers to unload those goods. Okay, these are the type of things that are happening across the globe. And so it becomes more expensive to bring things in. Those expenses are passed on. I believe this is the direct cause of the inflation. Now, while I don't believe that Biden caused the inflation, he has the unfortunate job of trying to fix it, or he's going to be held accountable to it. And he is making some efforts. I don't know if you saw the story today, but they're providing federal dollars and incentives for docks to open up for 24 hours a day. And this is something that they're doing at a state level as well. They're like, we have to get enough employees in here and we have to operate 24/7 to get all these products off of these ships and out to the consumer. And then there's another problem. See, this supply chain stuff, it all adds up. So here's what's happening. You got a bunch of ships sitting out there in the ocean waiting to be unloaded. There's only a certain number of cargo containers. So you might think that there are more ships, wherever these ships are coming from, that are being loaded up right now. There aren't, because all the cargo containers are at the destinations right now, waiting to be unloaded. And then ideally they're filled with more goods and sent back, or they're sent back empty and the process goes again. There is a supply chain log jam in just about every area right now. And this is why you are seeing the short-term increase in inflation. Now, when you add to that all of the new money, borrowed money that was added in because of the surplus, you will see it get even worse. I don't believe this is coming from that money yet. So that should be a little bit frightening, right? We're experiencing this level of inflation, and we haven't seen the impact of the stimulus dollars yet. So there's a lot going on here. Brandon says price gouging is not supply and demand. As I told you, Brandon, that if you have costs that are passed on to you because getting your hands on that is more expensive, is that gouging? I think that it is. I'm not going to say price gouging doesn't happen. But when you have a supply chain debacle like we are seeing now, I wouldn't call it gouging. Let's see. Orion says inflation is coming and it's going to be popping up everywhere. As long as the supply chain is jammed, goods will become scarce and prices will go up. That is what is happening. David says, that's what I'm saying, Jay. There are fewer goods to chase of dollars. Yeah, that makes sense. Brandon says, but companies are creating scarcity. It is great for their bottom lines. They are not creating scarcity. Scarcity is happening. This is not a fantasy. This is not made up that we have a supply chain logjam. This is not created by a bunch of people going, we'll have less product and then we can raise our prices. That's not what's going on here. This is a direct result of the lack of workers because of COVID, the scaling down of production. For example, the computer chip situation was mostly caused because computer chip makers decided to scale down and close factories because they felt like the pandemic was going to reduce demand. They were exactly wrong. And there were a couple of chip makers who actually saw the opposite, and they're doing quite well. And I can tell you business-wise, you would rather be the business that planned ahead and have plenty of product to sell than the ones that misplanned and now you don't have any product to sell. So these are all problems that are happening. Let's see. Brandon says, what company do you work for? Right now, I work for you and I work for me. I provide services to other companies. My services don't have a cost of goods sold. I have base costs like internet services, like I'm using a program to record this and send it out to you. That costs me monthly. But I did spend a good 20 years of my life working in industries where, for example, we watch the price of cheese every day. We watch the cheese market like other people watch the gold market or the stock market, because cheese in the pizza business was our biggest cost. And so we would have to adjust our pricing based upon the cost of cheese. And you never think about those things until you're outside. But I can tell you, I wanted to have a lot of product so that I could sell that product. I never once and have never heard on any level anybody wishing that they had a glut of supply so that they could raise their prices. Let's see. Chris says, with 10.4 million job openings in the U.S., how do we get the supply chain caught up until we fix the staffing crisis? I don't know how we avoid inflation. Where do these workers for open jobs come from? It's all kind of adding upon itself that supply chain is demand because of a hiring crisis. But the good news is, according to a lot of the experts I've seen, the supply chain is going to fix itself with time. The question is how much time, right? And I've also seen, if you look at unemployment numbers, I think you're going to start seeing employees going back to work. I've seen that from a couple economists and people saying, you know, people could only wait so long before they went back to work. They can only hold out for so long. And a lot of the government benefits and things like that that allowed them to stay out of work, those are drying up. Those are disappearing. And so I think you're going to see the hiring crisis turn around. And I think that there are already signs of that. So that's just what I'm seeing. I'm sure you can find economists who believe something else. David says to Brandon Whitesides, I work in the toy industry. Our vendor costs for importing are skyrocketing, mostly due to container costs going up alone. The cost of the ships sitting in the water. Some have eaten the increased costs, but others have had to raise their prices, and therefore we have to increase ours with them. Thank you, David. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Now, are you price gouging? Or are you making the best, you know, the truth of the matter is that the price gouging is something that happens the words price gouging are, for me, terminology that is used when it's a service, it's a survival service, a life or death service, like fuel or like food during a pandemic. That's price gouging. Responding to supply and demand based upon your costs and the demand and what your cost of goods sold is, that's supply and demand. And to classify that as price gouging, I can't accept that. But again, that's my interpretation, right? I do have, I saw a couple of stories. I thought this one kind of spoke to what we're talking about here. It is ABC News, so could be fake news, you know, I don't know. They say consumer prices rose 0.4% last month, slightly higher than August gain, and pushing annual inflation back to the highest increase in 13 years. U.S. consumer prices rose 0.4% as the cost of new cars, food, gas, and restaurant meals jumped. They say the unexpected burst of inflation this year reflects sharply higher prices for food and energy, but also for furniture. My daughter was just at IKEA. They have nothing. Everything is out of stock. Cars, television, and other largely imported goods. COVID-19 has shut down factories in Asia and slowed U.S. port operations, leaving container ships anchored at sea. And consumers and businesses paying more for goods that may not arrive for months. Price increases stemming from ongoing supply chain bottlenecks amid strong demand will keep the rate of inflation elevated. And supply and demand imbalances are only gradually resolved as supply demand imbalances. This is according to Kathy Bosjanic, sure, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, an economist at Oxford Economics. She said, while we share the Fed's view that this isn't the start of an upward wage price spiral, we look for inflation to remain persistently above 3% through mid-2020. Higher prices are also outstripping the pay gains many workers are able to obtain from businesses. That's an interesting point. So, businesses, because of the hiring crisis, are offering more dollars, but at the same time, all of this short-term inflation is happening, and so it's almost like they're not able to benefit from it. They said average hourly wages rose 4.6% in September. I guess those employees are price gouging. Wages rose 4.6% in September from a year earlier, a healthy increase, but not enough to keep up with the inflation. For elderly Americans, however, the increase has resulted in the biggest increase in benefits in 39 years. Monthly Social Security checks will rise 5.9% next year, according to the government yesterday. So will other benefits for veterans and retirees. Used car prices are going down. Let's see, the cost of hotel rooms, car rentals, and airline tickets also fell last month. See, these are industries that are not being affected by the supply and demand. Car rental prices had shot up over the summer after many companies sold portions of their rental fleets. Again, all a direct result of companies having to make adjustments to survive during COVID. Clothing prices fell 1.1% in September, providing consumers some relief after increases earlier this year. New cars, however, are growing increasingly expensive, with costs rising 1.3% in September and 8.7% compared with a year ago. That is the biggest 12-month increase in new car prices since 1980. A shortage of semiconductors has restrained vehicle production and left fewer cars on dealer lots. And again, you might just kind of say, well, those evil car dealerships are raising their prices because they can, because there's a supply issue. What you have to understand is that they still have all the same overhead. They pay for that entire property that they're on. They pay for the lights. They pay for all of the expenses that come with that. They pay wages. They have a product that they sell in their service departments. All of their base costs are still the same. Yet suddenly, the car costs them more to get, and they can't get enough of them. So you can't just sit there and say that by them raising their prices, they're evilly making all of this more money. That's not what's happening. What's happening is they have to be able to survive in the interim. So they have fewer products to sell. They have to be able to reach their costs and pay for them with fewer products to sell, because those base costs do not go down. So it's not gouging. It's called surviving. And so, again, this is a perfect example of how that works. Brandon is going all conspiracy on me now. He says, I think there is more to the story than what is being seen or told about unloading the cargo ships. Someone is benefiting from the cargo ship crisis. Might not be your company, David, but someone is about to make some money. Brandon, I just don't know why you would. I just don't know why you wouldn't accept the clear, obvious answer. I mean, across the globe, factories shut down, dock workers stopped going to work, everything shut down. Why does it have to be some conspiracy? I'd like some evidence of that. I'd like to know why you think that. Prices for household furniture, which has faced major shipping delays, jumped 2.4% in September alone. So, for example, let's talk about IKEA, this store up the street from me. They have no product to sell, but they have this massive facility, and they have all of these workers. How do they cover those costs? How do they do that without raising their prices? I don't know if they have, but I would understand if they have. The cost of shoes rose 0.5% in September and have jumped 6.5% in the past year. Children's shoes are up 11.9%, a record high gain in data that stretches back to the 1950s. Most shoes are imported and are likely caught in supply bottleneck. Restaurant owners are paying higher salaries to lure workers who have become elusive in the pandemic, and they're paying more for food. And for the fifth consecutive month, that has led to outsized price gains, 0.5% in September. The cost of a meal at a full-service restaurant has jumped 5.2% in the past year, an unprecedented leap for as long as records have been kept. Gas prices jumped 1.2% last month and have soared more than 42% compared with a year ago. Electricity prices rose 0.8%. Housing costs also rose at a strong clip as builders say they cannot find all the parts and workers they need to build new homes as quickly as they'd like. Rents rose 0.5% in September and a measure of home prices climbed 0.4%. If sustained, those increases will put significant upward pressure on prices as those two measures account for nearly one-third of the CPI. Man, you think about that. Housing has already been so crazy and it's so out of reach for so many. And now this is going to drive the prices up more. Inflation is far above the Fed's target of 2% annually. That's according to Chair Jerome Powell. He's repeatedly said that the price gain should abate next year, bringing inflation closer to the target. Federal Vice Chair Richard Clarida echoed that view in remarks on Tuesday. He said the unwelcome surge in inflation this year, once these relative price adjustments are complete and bottlenecks have unclogged, will in the end prove to be largely transitory. Rafael Bostic, president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve, joked Tuesday in separate remarks that transitory is now seen as the equivalent of a curse word at the Atlanta Fed. Bostic said that the price spikes mostly reflect the pandemic's impact on supply chains and added they should eventually fade, but it will likely take longer than many Fed officials initially expected. The White House said Wednesday that it has helped foster an agreement to keep the Port of Los Angeles open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in an effort to ease supply bottlenecks and reduce price pressures. Ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach, California, account for 40% of all shipping containers entering the U.S. As of Monday, there were 62 ships berthed at the two ports and 81 waiting to dock and unload, according to the Marine Exchange of South Carolina. By the way, a quick reminder, I'm posting in the description of all of my broadcasts a link to any of the stories that I talk about. So if you would like to see this story, and I also post links to other stories that we don't quite get to, if you want to read this story or share it or whatever you like, then that's available to you as well. Let's see. Orion says, my car is worth about $5,000 more than what I paid for it. That's insane. After buying a new car after 1 year, you usually lose $5,000 driving a car off the dealer lot. Brandon says, CEOs are going to need to take pay cuts. Brandon says, do CEO salaries account for overhead? Of course they do. Everybody's salary is included in overhead. Let's see. And CEO salaries, I mean, we could get on that. Probably a topic for another day. But you could eliminate those salaries in a lot of these huge companies, and it's going to result in a minimal increase. And I don't begrudge anybody who has worked their way up and created a position of value to a point where somebody pays them a lot of money. Those companies must feel that they provide that value of services. CEOs don't set their own salaries. Those salaries are set by the board. It's just like people who freak out about golden parachutes. Well, those deals are made when those individuals are hired, not when they're fired. And because there's a demand for effective CEOs, because that's what you do, you put yourself in a place where a lot of people want to compete for you, and then they're willing to increase your pay because they're all fighting for you. And so you say to that company, hey, I'll come to work for you. You're going to pay me millions and you're going to give me a sweet deal if you ever fire me. And that's all negotiated on the front side. So we freak out and, oh, I can't believe this person was fired and they got $10 million. That was part of the contract on the front end. That was not something decided by the CEO. That was something negotiated by the board, whoever's in charge of hiring the CEO. So I would love to create a situation where there's so much demand for me that I have people competing for me. In fact, I've been in that situation when I was deciding to come here to work for a radio station. I had two stations competing for me, and prices went up. shocking. Because I had provided a value to one, and the other station thought I could provide a value to them. So my value went up. It was a beautiful thing. I chose the lesser of the two salaries. Because I had different motives at the time, but that's the goal here, right? Let's see. Chris says, my friend has been waiting for her new CRV to arrive for 8 weeks. 1 year ago, there were always 50 plus CRVs on a lot. Salesmen are dying for cars to sell. Darren says, I've worked in commerce for 20 years, busier than ever. Well, and that's the thing, is that demand coming out of the pandemic has gone way up. But everybody scaled back, factories shut down. And so we kind of came out of the pandemic, you know, ready to go and roaring. Not that we're out of the pandemic, but wanting to continue our lives and maybe make up for lost time. And so I can only imagine that if this supply chain was not broken, that our economy would be going insane right now. Because, as you say, Darren, busier than ever. So I think it's interesting. I think it's really important that we have a good perspective. I know that there are going to be those who are so ready to blame the current president for this. I can say with 100% surety that if Trump were in office, this same thing would be happening. Now, what their responses would be to the crisis would probably be vastly different. But it's also important to remember that two of those stimulus packages came under a Republican president. So I'd prefer not to get into the blame game here and try and identify the truth, to realize that we're all going to have to be patient and just kind of bear this out a little bit. I do think we're getting to a breaking point where employees are going to have to go back to work. And I do think the supply chain is going to fix itself, and that's going to cause inflation to go down. My hope is that these things are temporary. And in the meantime, can we just all hang on and not panic? Because I have a fear here, and maybe this is what this is all leading to. I have a fear that we're going to freak out and say Biden is the reason for all this inflation. Oh my gosh, he's the worst president ever. And so we go, things were so great during Trump. And we go back to that. That is my fear. And I think there's a good chance of that happening. So I'd rather focus on why this is really happening. And yes, everything that everybody else brought up, borrowing money, stimulus, all of those things, they do have an impact, but not this quick. So, you know, hopefully we can keep a good perspective on this and not freak out and choose an absolute extreme, because nobody takes the time to find out why these things are really happening or to do the math. That is my fear. Ryan says, Abby will divorce me if Trump is reelected.